At Harvest for God, I'll just be honest with you, as Dennis was talking this today, the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit of God. And as I listened to that song and said, you know what, I want you to take those subjects, matter, and I want you to preach those for the next 4 weeks. So we're going to talk about sowing mercy and sowing grace, sowing some kindness and sowing some faith, amen? And so today I'm just going to talk, I'm going to break it up in 4 weeks. Hopefully we won't be too long today. But I want to talk about, the title of my message today is Sow a Seed of Mercy. Sow a Seed of Mercy. Amen. If we was to define mercy, if you was to look it up, you would find that this is what we're supposed to be sowing. It said that mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. In other words, somebody that you feel has maybe done you an injustice or a misdeed, somebody that you don't think maybe has treated you fairly or just right, and mercy is having that compassion and that forgiveness on the inside of you that says, you know what, irregardless, I'm not going to punish them, I'm not going to bring any harm to them, I'm not going to do anything, amen, that would cause harm in any way to that individual. That would be mercy. And this morning I thought about, as we sang that song that Wayman requested, Because He Lives. Amen. We're saved today, if you're saved, just because of God's mercy today. Amen. It's God's mercy that drew you and I to Him. It's the mercy of God that moved on the Holy Spirit to draw us to Him. Amen. And we are saved today because God's mercy on us. Amen. God had the right. Look, He had every right to punish us, didn't He? He had every right not to forgive humanity, amen? He had every right to do that, but God chose compassion, and He chose forgiveness for you and I, amen? Some of the synonyms of that word would be words like leniency, grace. Sometimes mercy and grace are so close together, but grace is a type of mercy, forgiveness, clemency. And then that word "so," I want to define that. Most of us know what that is, but I want to take it from the natural a little bit this morning and pull it up into the spiritual realm, because I believe when God's talking, mercy is really, it's a spiritual quality, it's a spiritual trait. That's why it's not easy for us to give it. Amen? When we walk in the natural man, it's not an easy thing for us to extend that. I know some people have gone their lifetime and never given mercy or grace to an individual, amen? I mean, they've gone 20 and 30 years sometimes and held something against them, and there was no compassion and no forgiveness. But to sow just simply means this. It means to plant. Now listen, I'm going to read it just like it said it. To plant by scattering seed on or in the earth. On, that'd be the natural farmer, I believe, on the earth. In the earth is a message to us in the spirit realm to the believer. Amen. God is interested in us sowing seed. Amen. On the earth. Amen. To other individuals when it gets in this earth, church. Amen. If you don't know it this morning, in Genesis 2 and 7, the Bible said this and said, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Say, I'm just dirt. Amen. I'm just dirt this morning, and so are you. Amen. And He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen? So God spoke to that dirt as He formed it, or as He formed humanity. And He spoke to that dirt, and that dirt was filled with life as He breathed into it. Now listen to me, I'm just laying some foundation before I get into the rest of the message. Mark 4 and 14, I've given to you many times, because in the spirit realm, and that's what we're going to deal with. How many knows it's a lot more important, amen, that we sow in the spirit realm than it is our natural realm so many times, although we all like to eat, so the natural realm is also important. But in Mark 4 and 14, this is what He said. He said, the sower soweth the word. The sower sows the word in the kingdom of God, amen. The word of God is the seed in the kingdom of God, amen. So Mark 4 and 14, the sower sows the word. I would ask you, and just for answer it for yourself, who have you sown the word of God into recently? Who have you given something to think about recently? Who have you talked to about the things of God? Who have you talked to about the end times like we did in Sunday school class this morning? If not, you know what? That's what he's talking about when he says we sow the word. Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11 says it this way. Said, for as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower. Now listen. Everybody in the Word of God's not a sower. He said seeds given to the sower. If you're not sowing the Word of God, once God touches your life and He begins to fill you and I up with the knowledge of God and with the Word of God, if we fail to sow that seed, look, seed, more information, more knowledge is only given to the one that's going to go forth and going to sow that seed. God's not stupid. How dumb would that be? Amen. To keep giving us and we're not a sower. We're not giving it, Wayman, to anybody. We're not doing anything with the word. And bread, we know he's the bread of life. And he said he becomes bread then to the eater. When we sow that word, the one that'll eat the word of God and take that in, it becomes very life-giving bread to that one. Would you say amen this morning? Then in verse 11 he said, look, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty or not doing what it was sent to do, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Look, I have nothing against anybody in this church or in any church that I know of, but I'm going to tell you this. The Word of God will speak to all of us where it needs to. Amen. He said, you know what? It'll do that for which is my desire for it to accomplish, church. So as I speak the word of God or any man of God, and he says it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, said God. And then Galatians 6 and 7, I read this at Harvest for God. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, as the song said, that shall he also reap. Listen, church, it's this simple. If you and I expect any mercy, or you want any mercy in your life, you desire somebody to show you mercy, maybe there's something been going on in your life for a long time. Maybe it's a family matter or something. You'd like to see it come to a close, or you'd like to see that thing get through it as a family or whatever it is. Listen, it's going to start with you showing mercy to the family, not them necessarily showing it to you. Amen. Amen. Extending that mercy to them. In order to receive mercy, we reap what we sow. I've got to be a sower of mercy first. Does that make sense? Amen. I can't reap what I don't sow. So here's the real question. I think sometimes in our minds as I thought about this, how great this morning is God's mercy? You ever wonder about that? I've heard so many things through the years as a Christian and as a believer. Well, you know what? The Spirit of God won't always strive with man. You know what? God won't always deal with humanity. God will get tired of your sin and your foolish ways, and He'll do all that. And yet, I think about His mercy. How great is God's mercy? Is it limited today? Think about that. Is His mercy limited today? I mean, can we only count on it a few times? I mean, and if I can, then where is it in the Word? How many times? Is it 5 times that I can count on it? Or is it 15 times? Or maybe is His mercy unlimited and I can count on it? Or is it inexhaustible today? No matter what we've done, listen, church, no matter how you've sinned or I've sinned, is God still going to forgive us, and will He still save us if I come to Christ? Is His mercy today, is it unlimited or is it inexhaustible? I think God's Word, it addresses it in many, many places. And the answer the Bible gives is very clear. Listen, God's mercy is inexhaustible, far greater than mine and your mistakes or our sins. Amen. Listen, He laid down His life for our sins. He sure is not going to give up on us as a sinner, church, irregardless of what you or I might think. I don't know, but if you know your Bible, how many know who Manasseh was in the Bible? If you know, let me see your hand. If you don't, keep it down, I might ask you. Let me see your hand if you know who Manasseh was.
Okay. We should know, but many don't, okay? Manasseh was, of course, he's in the Old Testament, and he's in Chronicles chapter 33, if you want to read it. I'm not going to read all that, verses 1 to 25. But Manasseh was the only son of Hezekiah. And at 12 years old, many of you will remember this, he becomes the king of Israel. And he reigns over Israel for 55 years from 12 years old. How many would like to be a king at 12 years old? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You are if you know him today. Amen. You walk in his sonship, amen, his kingship this morning. But here's the problem with Manasseh. Manasseh was somebody that literally hated God, church. I mean, he despised God and the things of God in every way. And he did everything he could to stamp out all worship in the kingdom at that time and destroy people's very belief in the things of God. I know people today, listen, and maybe you don't know any like that, but if you're around them very much, they'll do everything they can to you as a believer to try to destroy your faith in the things of God or the things that you believe in or the things that you think. Well, that was Manasseh. He didn't enjoy anything about the things of God. In fact, he promoted idolatry within the nation of Israel and witchcraft. All the things that were just the terrible things that we think of today that go along with those things. In fact, he sacrificed his own son to a false god. Some people and some writers say he might be the very wickedest person in God's word, in all of his word that ever lived, was Manasseh. And so I think about, as I thought about Manasseh, and I think about him, I think about, God, how could you have mercy on an individual like that? Would you have mercy on an individual like that, God? Somebody who sacrificed one of their own children to a false god. Somebody who spoke everything there was, God, against you. Worshipped every idol and was into witchcraft and did everything to turn the nation against the things of God. God, would you show that individual mercy? Come on, I've never done those things. Not to that extent. Amen? I've never been that bold about the things of God. Listen, church, and probably neither of you. But Manasseh, like I said, was called the wickedest man in all of God's word by so many. But listen, there was a day, amen, when Manasseh's kingdom was invaded and was captured, and Manasseh was imprisoned by the enemy. And so he begins to reflect why he's in prison about the things of God. He begins to reflect back on all the things that he'd said about God, and all the idol worship and everything that he was involved in. And during that time, if you read there, you'd find out that Manasseh cries out to God. He goes before God when he's in that terrible state, in that place where, you know what? His back's to the wall. He's in prison. There's not anything left much he can do. Maybe they're thinking about even taking his very life from him. But you know what? He turns to God, church, in that place. Isn't it true? Whenever we get our life in a mess sometimes, in the biggest messes. How many's ever had their life in a big mess? I mean a big one. I have. Amen? And let me tell you, in those places, just like Manasseh, you know what? Listen, he began to, the Bible said he cried out to God, and he repented, and God forgave Manasseh. God extended his mercy, church. God showed his compassion and his forgiveness. Listen, the very moment that Manasseh cried out to him, he didn't ask him to go do anything, to try to fix anything, to do things different at that time. He didn't deal with him in any of those ways. The minute Manasseh prayed, he forgave him, and he gave extended mercy to him. In fact, let's read. I want to read two verses to you out of 2 Chronicles 33 there, verses 12 and 13. Listen to this. And when he was in affliction, listen, Robin. Amen. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to speak that to you. When we're going through affliction, we got problems. Boy, there's no time the enemy will come to us worse and want to torment our mind. Calls us to fear, calls us to question everything about God. I'm sure that's what was going through Manasseh's mind as he was there in that prison cell. But it says he besought the Lord his God, and he humbled himself, church. Look, that's where most of it starts. Just humbling ourselves. Quit thinking more of ourselves than we ought to. Quit thinking we have some right to the gospel more than anybody else, or God's given us certain privileges apply to others and they don't apply. No, church. humble ourselves. Realize He's the God of all of us today if we're saved. Realize, you know what, it's the same God and the same blood that flows through you and I this morning. And there's no big me's and little you's in the kingdom of God. We're all important, as it was said earlier to the church. We're all part of the body of Christ. Amen. So He humbled Himself, the scripture said, greatly before God, the God of His fathers. I'm going to have to pull my walker up here and sit down. Maybe you can see my head and maybe not. I don't know. But I got to get off of my leg here a minute. Verse 13. And prayed unto Him, and He was entreated of him, and heard His supplication, and brought Him again to Jerusalem and to His kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, He was God. He said it was at that time. It was that time after he'd committed all the terrible things he'd done. Talked bad about God. Tried to turn as many people from him as he could, church. Got himself arrested and in prison and his back's against a wall. But when he cried out, you know what? And God came to him. He said it's then that he knew who God really was. And he learned who God really was, church. You know what? Let me tell you, the worst places in my life that I got to, it's only when I turned to God and humbled myself in those places. Let me tell you, nobody can tell me today that God don't exist. I have no desire today to go back to what I used to be in any way, church. None at all. You know why? Because it's at that point in that place that I knew who God really was. It wasn't something I said. Wasn't anything I questioned anymore. Amen. It's the God that I know as Manasseh knew God at that place in his life. When he prayed, the Lord was moved. Amen. The fact that he cried out. The fact that he humbled himself and Manasseh received God's mercy. I want to go to another area of scripture this morning. Leviticus 16 and 14. You know, God's mercy, I do. I think we have such a wrong picture of his mercy sometimes. It's not that he won't give us mercy. And that he won't forgive us. And you know what? You'll find out his mercy, he'll just keep on giving and pouring. And keep on giving and pouring. And he'll keep on forgiving and forgiving. Church, he will. You know what? Until I get to that point, you know what? That I'm either lost or I'll humble myself and come to him. But in Leviticus 16 and 14, I want to read it out of the NIV, so it'll be a little different if you got the King James. Said, he shall take the bull's blood and sprinkle it with his finger on the front or the east side of the mercy seat. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle of blood with his finger seven times. Now you ought to circle that because if you don't know, that number seven is very important there. Amen. That means he's going to offer a perfect sacrifice. A perfect atonement is going to take place here. When he said that he sprinkled it with blood seven times. Now go to Hebrews if you got your Bibles, chapter, because you may want to mark some of this. I don't know. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. Said, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna. I'm going to talk about that. You ought to circle that. And Aaron's rod that budded. There's a reason God mentions everything in his word, church. We ought to know, and God ought to reveal those things if we don't know them to us. And the tables. Oh, thank you, Jeff. So kind. Thank you very much. Amen. Let me find where I was at here. I'm sorry. And his finger, which had the, back down to 9, verse 4, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And I just made a note, thereby at the two stone tablets of God's commandments is what that means. Verse 5, and over in the cherub, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly now. Three items he mentions there that was in that and inside that. And I just mentioned and just read to you what they are. But I want to talk about those because they have some real importance in this scripture. The golden pot of manna, listen, represents man's rejection against God's provision. That's what it represented. Listen, it was man's way. That's why it was placed there. That's why it was protected there. God's provision was on the inside, but it was protected. Amen? And because they had rejected God's provision, man had. Amen. They had left it, so to speak, and walked away with it. That word just means action of providing or supplying. When man fell, listen, God no longer had a responsibility or necessity to take care of man and supply everything for him. So he puts it in there on the inside there of the ark to protect it so that it's protected. Amen. Not done away with, but it's protected. The rod of Aaron represents, listen, man's rejection of God's leadership. It's man's rejection of God's leadership, that God's authority. Man no longer wanting to come under God's authority and God's laws and follow His commandments and do those things that God asks of him and directs him and tells him. Man's own way of wanting to do those things. So he puts Aaron's rod in there. Listen, why, church? To protect Aaron's rod. Because, say this, say we need good leadership. Boy, if we don't know that in our nation today, something's wrong. We need good leadership. So God puts Aaron's rod in there and he says, you know what? I'm going to protect leadership. Amen. He didn't do away with it. Say, it's coming back. Hello. And then the two stone tablets that were God's commandments, listen, they represented man's rejection of God's standard of righteousness and holiness. And we talked about that a little bit. Boy, I wish I had my legs, church. I'd like to preach like I know God wants me to preach right now. But I'm telling you, you know what? If ever there's a time, listen to me, that humanity and churches, not just in America, but all over the world, I believe, have forgotten about the righteousness of God and God's holiness, and they've called us to live a holy life, church, it's today in the day that we're living in. Amen? And so it's placed there. Listen, it's placed there too. Amen. With Aaron's rod. Amen. And with that golden pot of manna, it represents God's holiness, and it's going to be protected. And it's going to be provided for. Amen. We know that holiness, listen, it's simply this. It represents pureness. It represented mankind before there was any sin, Wayman. Amen. See, God never intended man to sin. Amen. He never intended man to fall. He never intended us to live lives, amen, that would be unclean. Come on, church. We used to live perfect lives of holiness at that time. Amen. Praise God. But God delights in mercy, as I said. Church, listen. He delights in His mercy. He loves to pour. Look, He placed those things there because of His mercy. Amen. They were for you and I. They just weren't, amen, right for that immediate time, right then at that period. Amen. But they're for us still today, church. He had those things put away in the ark and they were covered. Listen, if you know the mercy seat. The mercy seat covered it all. Remember, it was solid gold and it sat on top and inside of there. And there was two cherubims. Remember the cherubims that sat on top? Now, I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But they were placed in the mercy, inside the mercy seat. Why? It was God's mercy to humanity that those things be there. They were important and they was going to play a part in what God had for me and you today. Amen. And mankind until He returns for the church. And once a year at that time, that the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies and in the ark, and he would sprinkle blood. Amen. He'd take an animal and they'd sacrifice that animal and he would sprinkle blood, amen, on the mercy seat. And I'm getting close to being done this morning. It means, listen, those cherubims, listen, they represented God's eyes watching over those things, amen, that He had placed on the inside. Look, when God placed Himself inside of me and you, and when God puts things on the inside of me and you, whether it's new revelation, it's gifts of the Spirit, doesn't matter, of ministry, it doesn't matter what it is, church, listen. God, I promise you, will do His best to show His mercy. Amen, Nick. And He will watch over those things that He's placed on the inside of me and you in a way to protect us and to keep us from a lot of things, church, and to provide good things for our lives. Amen. Not to harm us or because He's trying to punish us. It's a protection for us as His people. As long as the blood was there on the mercy seat, listen, He saw only the blood. And he accepted the people, didn't he? Amen. See, he was looking only at the blood then too, church. Today we know Christ is our high priest. Amen. He's the high priest, the Bible said. Himself, amen. He sprinkled his own blood and he shed his own blood, amen, on the true mercy seat of heaven. And he's at the right hand of the Father today, amen. On the throne of grace, the Bible says, amen. Protecting, providing, watching over his laws and his word today, just as he was back then. Hebrews chapter 9. I want to read a few verses, 23 through 26. It says this. It says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for you and I. Amen. God's there today, church. He's there for you and I. His whole purpose for being there and Christ being there is for you and I. It's for our good. Amen. He wants to provide things for you and I that he knows we have need of. Verse 25 said, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad we don't have to wait to just once a year to get rid of our sin and our guilt? And all the filthy things maybe that associates themselves sometimes with our lives. I'm glad of that, church. I'm glad, you know what, when we come to Him and we give Him to Him, He takes them never to be remembered against you and I anymore. Amen. And then verse 20, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Listen, I don't know. I don't know anybody's hearts here today. I'm not God. I trust none of us have sin in our life. But if you do, you know what? He offered his life to take care of your sin. All he wants you to do is come to him and give it to him, church, this morning. Just like Manasseh. Trust me, you ain't done anything too often or too much this morning that he can't forgive you and not willing to forgive you. Amen. And so it's interesting the number of times in the Old Testament that the high priest had to sprinkle the blood on that mercy seat. Church, it was 7 times as we read. Amen. It speaks of Christ and his perfect sacrifice. It's that number of perfection. It's that number, amen, of all the things that's in Christ, that number 7. Because his sacrifice is perfect and he's perfect. Listen, we're in perfect standing today if you know Christ. Amen. You're experiencing, or you should be, his mercy and his grace. Because if you're in Christ, you're in perfect standing with Christ, just as he's in perfect standing before the Father today. How long? How long? Forever, if you know him today. Matthew 5 and 7 says this. Said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And you know, I told you at Harvest for God, I really felt the Lord after I watched and listened to that song, although I've listened to it many times. I love that song. But I felt the Lord impress it on me. You know what, church? All of us, including your pastor, I can tell you, don't have enough mercy that I extend to people sometimes. Maybe even my own kids. You know, we just got to get honest before God. Probably none of us do, church. We like to think we do, don't we? For the parent, we like to think I am being merciful. No, not always. Sometimes our kids become hurt or bitter, angered. You know why? Because the mercy God gave us, we're not sharing with somebody else. Sometimes our friends do. Amen? Sometimes our brothers and sisters in Christ at church do. Amen? And God wants to pour his mercy out on me and you. Listen, let me tell you where it comes from. I gave you some examples there. It all came through that cross, church. That's the greatest symbol of mercy that you and I have, that we can look at, especially when he's at that cross.
Amen? When He's shedding His blood for mine and your sin. The sins, the Bible said, that took away the sins of the world. That's why He shed that blood. And you know what? The same kind of mercy. Think about where you was at. When I think about where I was at, when God found me, and God began to really deal with me, and God began to really work on my life, church, you know what I can tell you? I wasn't fit for much. And I can tell you, trust your pastor. I didn't deserve it. I needed it. And I laid for a couple hours, I've told you that, crying before God, because you know what? I wasn't deserving of it, and I knew it. I was broken, Brother Larry. Broken as I've ever been in my life. But God came, and He touched me, and He said, you know what? If you'll just cry out, I'll extend my mercy, and I'll forgive your grace, and you'll find me again. And you know what? If you mess up, come and give it to me again. And if you mess up, give it to me again. And the one thing that I've learned, church, that I want to leave you with today, listen, it doesn't matter where you ever get in your life. You know, He wants us to live godly lives and holy lives. But what we got to understand is this, you know what? As long as we're breathing and we got a right mind, listen, He would say to you today, you know what? Come and give it to me again. Give it to me again and let me take it and let me carry it. Amen. I want you to watch and listen to this last song here this morning.
There were signs of new construction on a mighty span, that in the hearts of all the lost would cast a shadow of a cross, 'cause that babe of Mary's crib would soon be mercy's rib. Was just across the river on heaven's side, but we were much too weak to swim with no boat to ride. God made a way that couldn't fail, a wooden cross, three rusty nails, and on Calvary's rugged ridge, mercy built a bridge.
Cross, but we must cross the Calvary way that leads from night into the brightest day, where Jesus died that you and I could live. Leave all you give for mercy built a bridge.
Now we can cross, but we must cross the Calvary way that leads from night into the brightest day, where Jesus died that you and I could live.
Give all to give the mercy built to bridge,
where Jesus died so that Jesus is the bridge.
Amen. In closing, I just want to say this. We had a good discussion this morning, our Sunday school class. We really did, about a lot of things. And part of it was just talking about how the world has so many things that we've been taught and believed, and I believe most people here believe, about the things of God, how they seem to have been left behind somewhere, so many of them. Listen, I wouldn't be a good pastor, and I wouldn't be a pastor that loved you at all today if I didn't tell you, you know what, if you're going to cross over, as that song said, you're going to have to do it the Calvary way. There's no other way, church. You know what? You can do and you can think. You can think you're going to get there some other way. And you could might listen to all the stuff that's going to make you feel good and make you jump for joy. But Wayman, you know what? We all got to cross the same way. And it includes Calvary in our life and the blood He shed this morning. And you know what? I love the last part in that song. He said, take all your sin and guilt and leave it right there. I want everybody to bow your heads a minute. You can stay seated. Amen. And I know we do it, but I think it's important to do it. Kind of like communion. Often. If you're here this morning, listen. And you feel you got any sin or you're dealing with any guilt in your life. You know what? If you can say, you know what, Pastor, I know I need to walk that Calvary road again with Christ. So, because I want to be what He wants me to be. I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning. If you say, Pastor, I need prayer, I know I do. I don't want to be lost. Amen. I want to make heaven my home. Anybody this morning need prayer, need Christ this morning? Amen. Amen. Stand with me.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you enjoyed this message, please let a friend know. If you'd like to contact our pastor, please call us at 765-332-2376. For more information about our church, you may visit our website at chicagocornerchurch.org. Church service is on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. You are always welcome to visit us in person.